send code so slowly, it hurts after a while how slow I am. KK4JBQ.
HXB, yeah, that's like I was in middle school. I signed in to home ec. I thought that I'd get into home ec because I thought that all the girls would be in there cooking. So I signed up for home ec. I went in there, and before I could pass the class, I had to cook something that the teacher had to approve. You remember those days?
I do, but I did not step out. I did not take a home ec class. And neither did my brother, for that matter. He didn't take home ec. You really made a step forward there, didn't you, Earl? You were going to learn how to cook. If that's what it takes, that's what I'm going to do. Oh, bless you. Anyhow, that just reminds me that I begged my mama when I was still at home, and I figured, I don't know, as, you know, the way things are going, maybe I was 12, maybe 14 years old, and girls and I did not get along very well by that time, and I thought, I'm never going to get married, so I better learn how to cook. So I tried, and I tried hard to get my mama to cook, and she says, you know, by the time you leave home, you'll find yourself a wife, and she'll cook for you. Well, I didn't believe that. I didn't believe that, not the first word of that. So I kept working on her over time. She did teach me how to make biscuits, and I have learned a lot about cooking since then because my current wife will show me anything I want to know. She's good like that. But my mama wouldn't. KK4JBQ.
Bell's the guy. This is something I used to talk about. Home ec class, I took it out here at high school as an elective just to get more, you know, numbers, so to speak, from year to year. You ever have to carry an egg around with you for a week, all week long without breaking it?
No, I don't think I had to do that. But yeah, I'm a master chef today. My wife, I do all the cooking. I grew up with my grandmother, the same as you did. We grew up, and everything that we eat was made from scratch. I mean, they never took nothing from a can. Grandmother and grandfather went to the grocery store on Saturday, and the only thing they bought was cleaning supplies. Everything else we eat out the garden.
That is really fine, and that's great to hear that both of you, especially the way you grew up there, Earl, I don't think you've ever mentioned that to me. I would have remembered that, but then I never mentioned to you that my mama refused to teach me how to cook. Well, you see, I don't know what your family structure was, but at that time in our family, there were two boys, no girls. So my mama was waiting and hoping for a girl. She finally got a girl. I was 3 years from my brother, he being younger. And then 10 years later, my sister would come along. So I was 13 years older. My mama went and taught my sister everything she wanted to teach a child, you know. She just had that, she was brought up where there was a big, difference as far as they saw it between what the responsibilities of a man should be, what the responsibilities of a woman should be. I figure, and I'll ask you, Earl, if this makes sense to you, whether you're a man or a woman, you need to eat, right? And there's going to be times before marriage, between marriages, if that's how your life goes, and on other occasions perhaps as well, that you need to know how to feed yourself. That's the argument that I tried to make. You know, life didn't happen just 1, 2, 3. You can't trust that things will go just the way you might imagine them. And so I just wanted to have enough knowledge to be able to shop and put a meal plan together. But that's not how my mama worked. She made the same thing all the time. She put the same thing on the table every night. It's how my dad liked it, and of course that's what everybody else ate. It was the same cornbread, mashed potatoes, some sort of meat. There might be a little differences there. Some kind of dessert. Again, you have a few to select from, but it was much the same. I don't think my mama cooked any other kind of bread except cornbread, you know. So I must have done it with lawnmower money. That's the only money I ever earned before I went working for other people, you know. I went around mowing lawns, and I bought my mother a Betty Crocker cookbook. She never had a cookbook before, and she never opened it. After I gave it to her, she was happy to receive it, of course, but she never opened that cookbook. KK4JBQ.
4HXB. Andy, where you at? Come on back in.
KK4LZI. I know I've heard you for the past 4 or 5 months, check in and out every now and then, but ain't heard much out of you. Have you heard anything out of Cody down there in Georgia? And I assume you already know about GFU John being a silent key. I assume you know that.
Yeah, I hate that. And you know, Ray, you know, I'd go over to Ray's. You know, he lived 2 minutes from me. And going into Ray's house, I loved him to death. It was like walking into a museum. He was the nicest guy. And I walk in his house, it was like walking into a museum.
I just wondered, I didn't hear you in and out every now and then. As you well know, there's rarely anybody gonna like you anymore like you used to be. And believe it or not, because of that, Jamie of Chastney instead of hanging around here much anymore because there's hardly anybody on here late anymore. He's always up on the Mount Mitchell repeater anymore nowadays up there. I can hear it here, but I can't really get into it for 2 cents. Go ahead, Larry. KI4LZI5D.
BQ. Well, Andy, before we go any further here, I just got to say there's something that has changed in the sound of your voice. I will suggest that it could be a change in your microphone. The best way I know how to describe what I'm hearing is it sounds rattly. Whereas a voice, unless you've got a frog in your throat like I do right now, your voice is usually smooth and easy to understand the words. You got a good speaking voice, but right now your microphone, I think, it sounds like there's a rattle in it. That'd be another way to remind you of what I'm hearing here. My ears are having a trouble. I have to really lean in, you know. I don't think talking louder would improve anything. I think it's your microphone. Have you had anybody else speak to you about that?
You remember I told you, what was it, 4 or 5 months ago I was going to have to order a fourth mic? I hadn't done it yet. This one here someone else brought up something about it, and this is the previous mic that I had before the third mic. Right now, every mic I got's bad, and I meant to order that fourth mic, but a lot of other things has come up, and I just hadn't got around to doing it yet. But if it's getting to be real, real bad, I'm going to have to, whether I want to or not, it would seem.
Complain or anything? I wouldn't say anything ordinarily, but my ears are having a hard time listening and getting all the words right. Part of it could be my ears, I'll just have to say, but anyway, since you can't hear what's coming out over the air, it's up to the rest of us to let you know if there's anything that's different, and this is different enough. Well, and I, you know, I have not successfully taken a microphone apart. They're kind of delicate when you get in there, and I don't know really what could go wrong. So when I've had a problem with the original mic, and I did go through a period 7 or 8 years ago, I bought another microphone that had to be put on a stand. You know, it wasn't one you hold in your hand with a push-to-talk button on it. So I went through some effort to get a push-to-talk button that I would hold in my other hand and hold the microphone in my dominant hand. And, you know, that wasn't so easy to coordinate, now, believe it or not. When you got a push button in your left hand and you got a microphone in your right hand, you can get mixed up. I think that's funny. I don't know. It's just funny that, you know, all that, you know, that thing that people do, can you pat your head and rub your stomach at the same time? You know, rub your stomach around and around and pat your head. It's two different motions. And you can practice and do it. But normally, people cannot do that if they haven't practiced. They get all befuddled. What am I doing with my left hand? What am I doing with my right hand? Since it's two different things. Now, you can't even get good at that. I found that having a push-to-talk in one hand and a microphone in the other was sort of like patting your head and rubbing your stomach at the same time. KK4, JBQ.
KK4, it's Jack Spade Friday. I think we got Richards going to come in here and holler at us.
FTU.
KK4LZI. Worse than what it's doing, let me know. As I said, I'm going to have to get another mic. I ain't done it yet, but I need to. I have to get a fourth mic, because these MH-48s over a period of so many years, they just go to pot. But no, I ain't hurt you, Richard. Go to check in every now and then here, and as you know, there ain't hardly anybody gets on here lately more like they used to. And like I was asking him there about Cody. I ain't heard anything out of Cody in years. And I'm assuming most people know about John's demise by now, because it's been about a year and a half. But some people like Jamie, due to the fact that no one gets on here much anymore, he's always up now on the 145 1-9 repeater. Jamie over in Chesney, you listen up there, you'll hear him up there almost all the time. KI4LZI, who's take.
Well, I was just sitting here listening to you guys eating sweet tart. I'm sitting here drinking some Marlowe and eating sweet tart talking to my buddies.
You must be a lot younger, bless your heart. I couldn't eat that stuff and remain alive. I say that just because I think you're playing around with dynamite. Ought to be careful about what you put in your body. You say sweet tarts? Goodness, I have not even seen sweet tarts in more than a decade. They call it that because sometimes they're sweet, sometimes they're sour. Is that right?
I just like sugar and a tart. You know, that's the way it is. I don't know. It's a sugar buzz. You want to be blunt about it. You sit here and you ain't got nothing to do. You want some sugar.
Well, I have given up sugar. I think it messes with me. And so you can't give it up entirely. I mean, that's really the truth. Unless you have an insulin issue, you know. I don't think my body has an insulin issue, but I'm just concerned about the calories, you know. Older people do slow down, you know, and I'm an older person. We slow down, and so if you want to keep the, and I haven't seen you in person, Earl, in, I don't know what, 6 or 8 years? It's been a while. Anyway, you can unnecessarily put on weight, and I have, I found, this is the truth. I've lost probably 45 to 46 pounds. I had to watch it, you know, when I gave up just eating anything that was close by. I stopped that, and I lost 45 pounds on average. You know, it'll vary a little bit over time, but I went through 2 new belts during that period of time, and now I'm wearing a belt that I'm using the last notch on it, you know, to keep my britches up. And I feel a lot better. I'm not carrying around as much weight, and I was only up to like 170. You know, not terribly overweight or anything. So I'm now about the same weight I was in high school. Watch yourself, Earl. We don't want to lose you. KK4 JBQ.
KK4 HXB. Go ahead. Leave it out.
Yeah, I've slowed up a good bit, and apparently I put quite a bit on. Not quite as much as you said there, Larry, but I talked with Cody. It's been a couple weeks. He's been kind of busy. They keep him busy down there at the Zips car wash. He's keeping it cleaning cars.
I believe the last time I actually heard Cody, it was probably 3 or 4 years ago. I don't remember now why. I was up at our local repeater site here on Glass Mountain outside Pickens, and I worked him on 5-2 Simplex from up there that time, and that's the last time I've heard Cody on in ages. I'm not sure who takes it, but take it. KI4LZI.
KK4HXB, let me give you some food for thought, guys. You know, we've been talking. I've had my ham license for almost probably 15, 20, let me see, I got my ham license in 2004 or 2011. I can't remember, but I've had to renew them one time, so I've had them probably almost 12, 13 years, but we need to keep in touch with each other. J just because we don't talk to each other on the radio every night. I talked to Cody. I got Cody's phone. I got Richard's phone. I had John's phone. I had everybody's phone. We need to stay in touch with each other, even though we don't talk on the radio. And, you know, we're family. We've been friends for a long time. KK4HXB for ID.
What you said there, Earl, and it's, KG4GFU, John was, well, it wasn't the only good friend that I met in ham radio that I've lost. Not the only one, but he and I did a bunch of things together. John and his wife, Ravonda, Donna and I would do things together. And just, you know, he and his wife were a real nice couple. And we'd go places and do things and spend a lot of time together. Took photographs even. We'd go up into North Carolina to the end of the mountains and, you know, go on a picnic or something like that. And we'd take pictures and now this is a good thing. It's a good thing to take pictures. But when somebody leaves as suddenly as John did, it seems like it was sudden. I know he had some issues, and that was finally going to take him, you know, as it turned out. But whenever someone leaves your company, somebody that you can just reach out over the telephone or the radio, someone you stayed in touch with, when they're suddenly gone, it's a shock. When John passed away, it was a shock. And I felt numb whenever I looked back at the pictures, you know, that he and his wife and myself and my wife, we'd get together and, you know, you look back at the good times then. People just, you know, everybody carries a camera with them anymore, right? So everybody carrying a camera, and these pictures last forever if you keep them on a computer, you know. They nothing ever happens to them. They don't get lost or anything. So you call them up and pore over them and edit. I guess it's good to do from time to time, but it hurts, you know, to lose somebody like that. KK4JPQ.
KK4HXB. Yeah, you know you're right. I mean, I'll give you credit where credit's due. You know, I heard the other night somebody was talking on the radio. They said a few years back, they was every night about 10 o'clock, they said that they was a group of guys that come on and we enjoy them. They said it was funny, and that was Richard, myself, John, Jack, all of us. I mean, we got on there, and everybody's asking where we go. I mean, we need to get back in. I told Dev the other night, and I called John. I mean, called Richard, and I told Richard and Cody. I said everybody's wanting us to get back on because they think that it's, you know, we comical, we funny, and we educational. And we need to do that. So you guys need to think about that.
Well, see, the only thing I know is when everybody was gone from here, up there, Jamie and Chesney, he shifted from there to 145.19. He's been up there with them up there for, gosh, I don't know, 3 or 4 years up there. They called theirs up there the Rowdy Round Tape. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah. I understand where you're coming from, Earl, but life gets in the way, and Gotta have sleep to go do the work thing. I'm still doing the work thing.
Schedule it, you know, if we could take 30 minutes or an hour ever, whenever we schedule it, then don't completely throw it on the back burner. You know, if you got an hour and I got an hour, let's get together and put it together, get all of us. And we can sit and spend that little bit of time together. You know, it don't have to be overnight for 2 hours, but maybe 15, 20 minutes.
I'll tell you what, BMW.
AK4FTU. I'm on days now, so I was on nights for 2.5 years.
Well, you started back out. Had time to check in here like you had times over the past few months, but at least I know you're still here and living. Go ahead, Larry. KI4LCI.
So, be kind of a sad thing, but you know what's happened. That people just decide, oh, something happens, something breaks. Their microphone don't work at all. And they pick it up one day and just decide, well, while it was working, I'd check into a net or I'd throw my call sign out and maybe talk to somebody. But now that that microphone don't work, well, I'm just going to lay it down. I don't know. Some people can think of it that way, I suppose. But I guess I got broke from that. I don't know. I had it. It takes having a friend in the hobby, somebody who's that you do other things with, perhaps. And I've known several people like that. I guess the first person. And this goes back to 2012 when I was brand new. And so that's be a dozen years or so. I'll go to a ham fest and see somebody that I had talked to on the radio. Now, that was a brand new thing for me. And I learned that it was called an eyeball QSO. And that was cool. And then somebody like Andy, who's, you know, you have a very distinctive voice, Andy, and it carries. I mean, it carry 40 feet outdoors, which is, you know, that's a far piece outdoors. But I remember back there in maybe 2014, something like that, went to the Anderson Ham Fest, and I heard you talking. And I had not met you before. So I turned around and I might have embarrassed you. I didn't mean to. But I turned around. You didn't know me from nobody, I'm sure. But that was kind of exciting for me. So we still talk to one another. We've seen each other outside of club meetings and stuff like that at Hamfest usually. I wish that Hamfests were more frequent. COVID really put a black eye on Hamfests. I enjoyed those. And every once in a while, you'll hear about them, but they've kind of taken a back seat to other things, maybe. Oh, well, life goes on, and you just be flexible and do the best you can. But the hobby becomes a different thing if you every once in a while go visit somebody in their shack, see how they're getting along, sit down and have a meal with a ham and his or her wife or husband. I know a little bit about that, and that's a good thing. KK4JBQ.
Come through right about at the same time that the ham fest not canceled it this time. As you say, luckily I can hear the 7-9 here just fine, and I got word ahead of time. About a week before it's time for it to happen that they said they was going to have to cancel it because of the Helene weather down there in that, that park gun had trees all over everywhere, and we remember we've been down there before. I'm sure they were everywhere. Whoever's to take it, go ahead, KI4LZI.
Hey, Jake B, I was talking to Larry the other night, and I got off subject, and I was going to ask you a question about the Anderson Ham Fest when we had it. That's the first time that I met Larry, and I met Andy. We was at the Anderson Ham Fest, and, you know, it's kind of funny. And I was telling my wife, matter of fact, today or this morning, I said, Larry, he's like us. I mean, he's bad to the ball. And I said, Donna, I said, how he got hooked up with that woman, I'll never know, because that is one drop-dead gorgeous woman. I told my wife that. I said, she is a nice lady.
I won't disagree with you, Earl, but, I look back on that and I think it was, we met one another in church, and we both had waited a long time before we got hitched up. For myself, I just had that was never something that I was always looking for, you know. And we, as my parents would say, especially my dad, he'd say, we got to heeing and hawing. Now, if you know anything about driving a mule, he and haw are the calls that you use to make the mule turn this way or that way. And, yeah, so we just hit it off in church, and that was a very good place to find a very good spouse, I gotta say. Yeah, so anyway, that's nice of you to say that, Earl. I appreciate you saying that, and I'll pass that along to her. KK4JBQ.
He and haw. I love the water. I like to fish, and me and Dale's been on a half dozen cruises over the past 3 or 4 years. But yeah, I kind of look at it. He is port, and haw is starboard.
Nautical too. It has to do with driving a team, horses, mules, oxen, maybe, I don't know. But I didn't know it was nautical as well. That's port and starboard, not nautical, I believe. But maybe some people use he and haw. Anyhow, how about that? So, Earl, I think you... at least the first time in my hearing, you mentioned that your wife's name is Deb or Deborah, Debbie, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't think I've ever met her. We knew each other before the two of you were married. So what can you tell me about your wife? Of how many years now has it been?
I'll put it this way. I'm a redneck country boy up North Greenville in a little town called Travers Rest, North in the Hood. We've been married 10 years. We've been married 10 years in May. Oh, been, let me tell you something. It's been a good 10 years. We normally take 2 or 3 cruises a year. We got I just bought us a new touring Harley, and we get out there and we go play.
I realize it's been 10 years. Wow, they do slip away. I knew it was more than half that, but I didn't know it was all of 10 years. Well, I guess it has been because you talked about, when we were doing the Midnight Express back that long ago, you still had the King Shepherd. And we talked more about dogs than we did about spouses. Maybe it's just that never came up. I don't know. KK4JBQ.
KK4HXB. Andy, where you at, buddy?
Here, turn it over to Rich and let him say something. KI4LCI5D. Will I do that? Go ahead, Rich.
4FTU. Larry, you bringing up memories. I remember the first time I saw Earl. We were, both of us had went to Greenwood to go for a general at a ham fest. And I think we both got our ham license about the same time in December of 2011.
You got your license, Earl, 2011?
My foot piece. I went in and got me a popsicle. Repeat the question.
Tires and popsicles. Oh, anybody listening may not know that you're more than 10 years old, for sure. Pop tarts and popsicles. I was just asking when it was that you and, oh, I forget the dog's name. I'm going to kick myself when you mention her name. The King Shepherd that you had passed away, I think, a couple of years ago now. You sent me some pictures of the dog. I never met her in person. I've heard other people. You had initially talked to me about how she would welcome a bag of food when you got home. You got the food in, I think you said, a 50-pound bag. That's a lot of food. And you didn't bother opening it up. You just threw it down and she tore into it. Threw it down on the front porch and she'd tear into it and eat from it from time to time. KK4JBQ.
Yeah, that was Sheba. Sheba passed away. I had her cremated. Bless her heart. She was with us when we came to the ham fest at Anderson right there on the lake.
I don't recall meeting her. I'm sure I would have remembered. You sent me pictures and they were, you know, she was a mighty fine looking dog. Astounding. Probably the largest shepherd I'd ever seen in comparison to people, you know, in the pictures that you sent me. I would remember if I had met her in person. And you, I think you mentioned just recently that you broke down and got another dog, did you?
Yeah, I'm gonna pass this on. I wanna say this. Yeah, I just bought two puppies. Let me see how to put this. Two Australian Shepherds. Deb didn't want to break him and his brother up. Let me put that. I'm trying to get this out. I bought two brothers, and they are bad. I told Deb yesterday. I said, you know, if we had twin boys, I couldn't live with you.
Well, having children and having dogs are two different things. Just way, way different. Richard, why don't you chime in here? Everyone else is kind of it's getting late for me too. And it's not long before Andy's going to have to take some medication. So we should think about that and wind things up. But Richard, tell us about your dogs or cats or whatever you feed.
I ended up, KK4MTU, I ended up rescuing one from my brother-in-law and sister. They were moving, downsizing from a three-bedroom house to a barn loft that they built. And at the time, they had five dogs, and they were trying to thin it out a little bit. So I ended up with one of the younger ones, and she's an American Pit. And oh my goodness, my brother-in-law ruined her. She is so spoiled. She had to be first in the truck, first out of the truck, always in his lap.
That sounds like something to put up with, but you always knew where. Well, with that breed, you want to keep an eye on her anyway, don't you?
Pack dog, her, she'd come up to you, and she'd lick you to death, roll over on her back, want you to rub her belly, and she don't hardly meet any strangers. We've taken her to Tractor Supply a couple times, and oh my goodness, everybody wants to pet her. She loves on everybody, but she'll let you know real quick. You need to pay attention to her. She'll crawl up in your lap. She's 60 pounds of muscle.
Well, my wife is fond of cats. So all the pets we've had, you know, for the 35 years we've been together, they've been less than 10 pounds. I wouldn't know what to do with a 60-pound pet who wanted to be in my lap. I would not know how to do it, you know, because they'll sit in my lap and my legs will go to sleep, you know. How can you possibly have a dog in your lap for that long? You know, a full television show, you might say. Oh, well. Anyway, it's all good. It's all good. If you have a pet that cares anything for you, that means that you're being good to it. You know, they really will tell on you if you're not good to them. Are you back with us yet, Earl? KK4JBQ.
I'm Rich. Rich, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Told the wife when we brought her home, oh, she was tickled to death. Because I was still on nights at BMW. I said, well, I guess this is the only way I'm going to get only Mustang I'll ever own, because the dog's name, her name is Shelby.
That's a good namesake. That kind of rolls off the tongue, too. Never had a Mustang. Almost did. Goodness, that thing would be worth several hundred thousand dollars now. It would have been my first vehicle. So now you know why I didn't have a Mustang. My dad went, my uncle was a car salesman, and he was just that kind of person too. But dad knew him, of course. So he went to his lot. He had this Mustang he tried to steer me toward. My dad would not have that. He would not have that. I didn't understand, because I had just gotten my license, you know. So I didn't know three things about an automobile at the time. And Dad wanted me to have something that I'd have to work on. And my uncle kept bragging about what a good transport it was. And, put a long story short, Mustangs had a bad reputation for my dad. Not for me, but for my dad. Now, since he was going to be helping me along with the insurance, I've been working for a few years to put away enough for the the automobile, back then they weren't all that expensive. I think it was $200. Believe it or not, it was a Mustang in good shape for $200. And my dad made me walk away from it. If I kept it, it'd be worth a couple hundred thousand now. It was just that pretty, and my dad called it a cream puff. I always went, while my dad was living, I always went with him when buying cars because he could talk. Maybe it was because of my uncle, I don't know, but he could talk to a car salesman for half of the afternoon. And my dad was always trying to bring, and he wasn't bashful about using the time to bring the price down. You know, he says, he told me once, he says, different occasion, but he says, the easiest $50 I ever earned was with my mouth. KK4JBQ.
Earl just sent me a text, said he had to go fix him a snack, so he's in the other room fixing him a snack. Yeah, I understand get into a lot of trouble with a Mustang. The other reason I ended up with this dog was because my brother-in-law ruined her so bad that he was taking her to work. He has his own mechanic shop, and she wanted to be in his lap, and there was four other dogs in the cab of the truck, and they about caused him to wreck.
Gracious. I can see that happen just as you were painting a good picture there. Yeah. Well, the last time I was talking to about his dog, he's been through several, trying to get the right man, a veteran, and looking for a service dog. And if you know anything about that process, it can be complicated. He's recently lost his service dog and looking for a new one, and it is a process. I don't know much about that process, but enough to repeat it. But it's there's a lot of considerations, you might say. And if you've got a dog can be an awfully good friend, and they get to know you a lot quicker than you get to know them. I think they're looking for things that people are not too not too critical about it, but a dog will have to know you in a certain way, and from then on until they're the day they leave here, they are your friend, your buddy, your confidant. People won't admit it, but even though the animal does not understand a word you're saying, they seem to. And we tell things to our dogs and cats and horses. I used to have horses. We tell things to our animals that we wouldn't say to another human being. KK4JBQ.
KI4LCI, as you said earlier about the medicine, I got to pop out now and take some insulin, but if y'all are still here later, I'll come back. KI4LCI.
KK4FDU, good hearing from you. Andy, you take care. I doubt I'll be back in here, but you have a good one and a Merry Christmas, and hopefully I'll be back on before the new year.
Mighty fun to have a little time with you this evening. You take care of everything over your way. And Earl and Andy, I'm getting kind of, it was not a day that beat me up or anything like that, but I'm getting a little woozy, and so I will take this opportunity to say good evening to everybody. It was mighty fine. And we'll have to do this again. And Andy, you're a good one to get it all kick started. Appreciate that. This is KK4JBQ, and I will be clear. 7-3.
KJB, I just beat me a sandwich. Andy, if you want to hang out for a little bit, let me know. I'm just putting it together. KK4XB, I'm monitoring.
KK4FTU, good night, God bless, and if I don't talk to you before Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Bro, come in touch. Don't be a stranger. Andy, same to you.